Design Guy, Episode 3.
Design Guy here. Welcome to the show. This is the program that explores timeless principles of design and explains them simply. Last episode, we defined design as the act of creating order out of chaos. And whether we're talking graphic or interior or environmental design, it doesn't really matter. The basic definition stands because we're engaged in the same process. It's a process that starts with a number of unrelated pieces, but ends with an ordered unit. Now, looking closer at graphic design, we realize that it's got its own set of concerns that distinguish it from other forms of design, as well as from other arts. And I think right from the beginning, we've got to be clear about what graphic design is not. And that's art. Now, of course, it is an art. Its practitioners are artists. But it's not art with a capital A in the sense that it's not fine art. And I think I probably lost a few of you right there. This is where people get confused, especially if we're familiar with some of the stunning works by graphic design luminaries like Paul Rand or Milton Glaser. Their work should be viewed in a gallery. They're models of artistic excellence. So what's the difference? Are we splitting semantical hairs or what? I think the distinction is a question of motivation or purpose. Fine art is something that can be done in a loft, which is to say, it can be done for highly individualized ends. It can be done with no conscious purpose or just be rather subjective. You might do it for your own enjoyment or perhaps to get a certain technical effect or for any other reason in the world. Now, sometimes there's a statement being made, but other times if there's meaning, we'll just leave that to the eye of the beholder to interpret. In other words, fine art is subject to personal interpretation, and if it's subject to that personal interpretation, it can mean anything. When we cast the issue in these terms, I think we begin to see that graphic design is different. It's inherently objective. Now, it involves art, and I think designers can leave room for some ambiguity or personal interpretation. After all, this generates questions in the viewer, and this kind of intensifies their interaction with the piece. But ultimately, graphic design is different because it's done with a clear, specific aim in mind. And what is that aim but communication? But communication of what? Is it the artist's inner feelings on the day of creation? No, it's not about those kinds of concerns. It's not subjective, as we've already discussed. Graphic design, instead, is linked to an objective, typographic message. We can communicate the message artistically in a really stylized way. In fact, there may even be a strong individual signature on the work that makes one aware of that artist behind it. Earlier, I mentioned Milton Glaser, and I'm thinking of his famous and iconic Dylan poster. This particular poster is well known to graphic designers. It's distinctly Glaser. You're very aware of this artist. But in the end, it's not about him. It's about commercial art. That Dylan poster is meant for commerce, to support a music company's product. And we're usually trying to sell stuff, whether that's the advantages of a certain denture cleaner or a socially conscious message about the impacts of deforestation. Regardless of the subject, we want to transmit specified meaning. There's a message, and it's typographic in nature. So if people haven't understood, for example, that the iPhone is the most advanced, hip, web-capable phone available, then we've failed at our mission. If our work is not tethered to an objective typographic message, then we might as well stay in our lofts because we're doing fine art. Massimo Vignelli is a well-known figure in graphic design. He says that graphic design, in its purest form, is information design. And as such, it doesn't really require imagery, necessarily. It's more about creating readable, ordered messages. In fact, type is our primary imagery. Letter forms are symbols, and they create words, which have power all by themselves to produce pictures in the minds of our audience. If we set the word home all by itself on a page, that word has the power to evoke very primal associations in all of us. It just conjures up images in our minds. So a graphic designer is really going to be aware of that and not underestimate the power of type itself. So in that example of, you know, just putting the word home on a page by itself, may mean that we don't even have to go to a place like Corbis or Getty Images to get that photo of a house on a hill. Words are your best clip art. And that's why we've seen the rise of the Swiss Graphic School of Design. This is a famous school of thought or movement that occurred in design history. And the big idea behind it is that it placed a premium on a very functional objectivism. Joseph Mueller Brockman, who was a pioneer associated with it and with grid systems, moved away from a more arbitrary or illustrative mode of advertising to this objective typographic approach. If images were used, they weren't sized arbitrarily, but according to their importance. So the driver of his work was the words. Pages were structured, not treated as a free-form canvas the way an artist typically would. And the structure was based on the metrics of type, the measure of their leading, their point size, etc. Typography is the primary discipline of graphic design. Without it, there's no message, and therefore there is no graphic design. Let me conclude by quoting a portion from Quentin Newark's book, appropriately titled, What is Graphic Design? He says, graphic design is the most universal of all the arts. It is all around us, explaining, decorating, identifying, imposing meaning on the world. It's in the streets. It's in everything we read. It's on our bodies. We engage with design in road signs, advertisements, magazines, cigarette packets, headache pills, the logo on our t-shirt, the washing label on our jacket. And it's not just a modern or capitalistic phenomenon. Streets filled with signs, emblems, prices, sales offers, official pronouncements, and news would all have been just as familiar to ancient Egyptians or medieval Italians or the people of Soviet Russia. He also goes on to say that graphic design sorts and differentiates. It distinguishes one company or organization or nation from another. It informs. It tells us how to bone a duck or how to register a birth. It acts on our emotions and helps to shape how we feel about the world around us. Imagine if graphic design was banned or simply disappeared overnight. There would be no written word, no newspapers, no magazines, no internet, no science to speak of. We would enter another Dark Ages, 1,000 years of ignorance, prejudice, superstition, and very short lifespans. Rather than a frivolous extra, the uses and purposes of graphic design are so integral to our modern world, civilization, that Marshall McLuhan named us typographic man. Now, there's much more to say about this topic, so much so that I'm tempted to start a series on it, but I won't do that at this time. I think we can move to a lower tier of discussion, but occasionally revisit the grand subject from time to time. We'll sort of look at the trees and then look at the forest to maintain perspective at times. Well, that concludes today's program. I'll post info on some of the references I've made today, including links to related books at Amazon, because some of you will want to add these to your library. My webpage is located at designguysshow.blogspot.com. That's designguysshow.blogspot.com. Music was by kcentricity.com. Well, I thank you again for listening, and I hope to have you back again.